After David defeated Goliath, he became a leader of men. Now, there are different types of leaders and different styles of leadership. Also, there are different people groups that need to be led. Countries need leaders, and downtrodden people need leaders too, as well as churches. Jesus gave advice to his followers who would seek to lead. In Mark chapter 10, he says, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the heathen have power over them, and the leaders have complete authority. This, however, is not the way it is among you. If one of you wants to be great, you must be the servant of the rest. And if one of you wants to be first, you must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man didn't come to be served. He came to serve and give his life to redeem many people." This was a revolutionary style of leadership that Jesus taught, servant leadership. People in charge can be autocratic, wanting total control. A little like King Saul, some are democratic, sharing decisions. There are some today that leave their subordinates to choose their own direction if it is to the benefit of the company. Today, even servant leadership style is taught in business seminars. Paul wanted to ensure that the Corinthian Christians knew he was not seeking to control them there. He said in 2 Corinthians 1, "It isn't that we want to have control over your Christian faith. Rather, we want to work with you so that you will be happy." Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 5, "Be shepherds over the flock of God that he has entrusted to you. Watch over it as God does. Don't be rulers over the people entrusted to you, but be examples for the flock to follow." The emphasis is on leading by example. There is no thought of authoritarian leadership, maybe a little paternalistic style in leadership, but not much. This latter type of leadership is best illustrated with Paul speaking of the leading role of some women in the church. To Timothy, he states that he wouldn't allow a woman, as the King James puts it, to usurp authority. But to the Romans, he speaks of the deaconess Phoebe being a succorer of many, which was a term used for a person in authority who was caring for others. One Paul rejected, the other he respected. Jesus, as well as Paul and Peter, without exception, spoke against a controlling form of leadership. Speaking of Jesus, Peter said in his first epistle, chapter 2, "God called you to endure suffering because Christ suffered for you. He left you an example so that you could follow in his footsteps." Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 11, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." David became king, and he was prepared to promote the successful and the fearless to achieve his aims. In 1 Chronicles 11, it says that David said, "Whoever is the first to kill a Jebusite will be made a general and a prince." Zeruiah's son Joab was the first to go into Jerusalem, so he became the general. There was a reward and an incentive to produce leaders. After David had escaped from King Saul, His first call was to survive. Then he had to overcome while he was seeking God. But gradually his vision grew, and he could see the possibility of the end product, for God had given him the promise of kingship, and you can't be a king without a kingdom. Yet there was a further motivation in the life of David to that of being a king, and he speaks of it in Psalm 69. He said, "It is zeal for your house that has eaten me up." He saw a vision of the house of God where people came to worship the Lord with music. Amid the idolatry in the world around him, he set out to provide a pure faith and a joyful, exuberant praise to God by God's people. So let us get praising and serving as well. The Lord bless you.